This is NPR, Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. Bipartisan groups of lawmakers are currently trying to find a compromise to get Illinois out of its budget impasse, which has lasted for more than 10 months. But the state's budget crisis could have been averted long before the current battle between Governor Bruce Rauner and Democratic leaders even began. This week, Illinois Issues takes a look at the budget impasse backstory. Last month, Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan stood in his chamber and delivered a speech on his perspective of the state's budget impasse.
Never before has the state gone this long without a budget. Every other governor that I have worked with has negotiated with the General Assembly in good faith to help the people of Illinois and to ensure that the people of our state did not needlessly suffer. The fact is, the current budget crisis was completely avoidable. While this crisis was avoidable, Governor Rauner has refused to put an end to the crisis.
The speaker is correct. This was avoidable. Many, including Madigan, are pointing the finger at Republican Governor Bruce Rauner for tying budget negotiations to his turnaround agenda. But this crisis could have been prevented long before he took office. To understand the current situation, we have to go back to 2011. That's when lawmakers passed a temporary tax increase and Governor Pat Quinn signed it into law.
The reason that tax increase was fought for by advocates and eventually passed and enacted was to prevent exactly this crisis that we're having now.
That's Emily Miller. She lobbies for social services with the group Voices for Illinois Children.
Unfortunately, because of the failure to extend that temporary tax increase, we had a 25% tax cut, which reduced the available revenue for things like social services, education, higher education. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in right now.
Not long after the tax hike was in place, credit rating agencies began warning Illinois politicians to make a plan for when the higher rates would start to step down in 2015. Kent Redfield, a retired political science professor at the University of Illinois, says politics won out over making tough choices.
It was pretty clear, given the state's debt, given what normal spending added up to, if we let that temporary tax increase expire, that we were just going to go off the cliff again. But rather than bite the bullet before the general election, the legislature essentially took a pass.
When lawmakers put together the budget for fiscal year 2015, they faced a more than $1 billion drop in revenue. They also faced an election in November.
And so you could get a political calculus that said, we'll leave this hanging, and then certainly whoever gets elected, you know, is going to be able to see that we need more revenue. They'll have to negotiate with us to get more revenue. It turned out to be exactly the opposite. In fact, the governor has been trying to leverage the need for more revenue to try and get policy changes that he wanted. And so it was clearly a miscalculation in terms of how this might play out.
If the governor was able to take hostages close to Democrats' hearts in the form of funding for social services and higher education, it's because they played a lead role in putting those entities in peril. Democrats had controlled both chambers of the legislature and the governor's office, but they'd failed to protect social services, either by extending the tax increase or cutting elsewhere to free up money. It's no surprise Democrats weren't in a hurry to do all the heavy lifting on a tax vote again. No Republicans voted in favor of the 2011 increase, yet many in their districts benefited from the revenue. In Democrats' eyes, they'd gotten all the reward with none of the political risk. If Democrat Pat Quinn won the 2014 governor's race, Democrats could take the vote after the election. If Rauner won, why bail him out? After Rauner did win, he asked lawmakers not to take a tax vote. He also soon made it clear that addressing the mismatch between revenues and spending in the state was not his top priority. Miller, with Voices for Illinois Children, says she's been disappointed by all the finger-pointing.
One of the most devastating things about this crisis is that it was absolutely preventable and that everyone knew it was coming. And now that we're here, nobody seems to want to take responsibility for it.
Reporting for Illinois Issues, I'm Jamie Dunn.